Okay, we've got a new intro music to today's episode. It goes a bit like this. Acoustic. Saturday night, and I like the way you move. Diva Carigi. He cuts inside, and he slots it past the blues. Diva Carigi. Na 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 na. Diva Carigi. And we could keep going all night long, basically. This is our own mini boss night from Australia. Let me put the microphone back up to its normal space. Hello, everyone. Episode 242. It's been about 9 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours since the game. I don't even know how long it's been, but it's been a huge amount of time because it's now 9:30 p.m. in Australia, and the game kicked off at 3:15 a.m. So I've had about 2 hours sleep, and so has the gentleman who is joining me, Mr. James Nicholson. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, you got it absolutely spot on. And 2 hours sleep, I think, is being nice, to be honest, but we'll take it. We'll take it after today.
Oh my God, how good. Are you in a semi-vegetated state as well? Because I'm really struggling.
Yes. No, you're not alone, my friend. Believe me, I'm struggling past the finish line tonight, but I'm not complaining.
Perfect. And for everyone out there, I hope you are also appreciating the beautiful audio quality of Mr. James and myself sitting here, because we have upgraded again our audio to chat in crystal clear HD quality. That's what we do for our listeners.
We have invested heavily. On this one.
Exactly. So for you to give you some context, I'm in Sydney, James is in Melbourne, and with the magic of technology, we are sounding just like we're in the same room, right? Something like that.
Well, it might as well be. It's just magical.
You know what else is magical? Diva Carigi scoring in the 96th minute. Two little T-Rex arms Pickford trying to get the ball off the crossbar.
I think that must be the assist of the season. He's outdone himself this time. He's just...
Are you going to give the assist of the season to Virgil or to Pickford? Because they're both bloody good.
I thought they were both man of the match for that move. You know, they've obviously planned that for a while. It was just pinpoint.
He clearly meant it. Virgil's just like, you know what? It's 96 minutes gone. And I just really want to play the crossbar challenge.
That's it. That's it. He walked away. He already knew. He already knew.
He just turned.
That's it. That's exactly it.
All he could hear in his head was like some crazy, you know, dubstep playing as soon as he hit it. He just turned. It's like, and those stupid black glasses moved over his face, and it's just Thug Life as it hits the crossbar.
That was it. Real gangster.
And Pickford's there going, I can do better than this. I'm going to turn this situation into a goal. What the fuck?
I don't even know what was going through his head, honestly.
I've tried to watch it a few times. It's like he actually tried to flick it back in field. I don't know what he was thinking. His hands went backwards and moved forward or something.
I just think he had a bit of a brain fart. I don't know what he was doing. I have no idea. All I know is he I'm pretty sure he said he wasn't going to make any mistakes like Alisson, right?
Yeah. He would never do such a thing like that. But I think what he tried to do, this is how I'm thinking, looking at his hand placement, like he looks like he jumped up to almost grab the crossbar. Now, sometimes those goalkeepers think they're all tough. I shouldn't say that word. They're tough nuts, and they jump up and they grab the crossbar as the ball goes over and like does a pull up or something. I think that was the first thing that went into his mind. I'm going to quickly play. You won't be able to hear it, sorry, James, but the listeners will. It's the 11 seconds leading up to the goal, and the commentary is wonderful. So I'm going to just quickly hit play here.
To the penalty area from Alexander-Arnold. Mina with the header. A wild volley from Van Dijk. It's awkward, and he bounces off the crossbar. And into the net! Would you believe it?
God, that's so good to hear. So it's like, oh, and Virgil with a wild swing, rah, rah, rah. And then, it's in the net! Would you believe it?
It was glorious. It was Jurgen Klopp running full pelt at Alisson as if he was a lost child in a superstore not knowing where to go. I just need to find someone and grab them.
Why Alisson? I know Alisson had an amazing game. Like, Alisson's in a different planet. But he ran towards the goalkeeper. Was it because the goalkeeper did the pass to Trent for Trent to kick it? I don't know what it was, but it felt mad. I guess when I look at Alisson, I'm magically attracted in that direction as well, so it's understandable.
Yeah, it's like a magnetic pull. You can't do anything about it.
It's the beard.
That's it. That's all it is.
That was great, though. And did you hear Danny Mills go off and that everyone's just shredding him? Going, Danny Mills, just stop being a tool for the first time.
Danny Mills is no one special. How is he given a platform to form an opinion? I'm not interested in it. He can say whatever he wants. No one has a care what he's got to say, to be honest. He can say anything. I'm not bothered my backside.
Yeah, to fill people in, if people are wondering what the hell we're talking about, sorry, we should give a bit of backstory. We do trawl the internet a lot more than the regular, normal people with lives and partners who love them. but anyway, Danny Mills on, was it TalkSport? And I think there was some... Five Live, oh yeah. Just calling in saying, oh, Jurgen Klopp's an utter disgrace, rah, rah, rah. And it's like a guy whose name was Liz or something. And it's like, there's a travesty and blah, blah, blah. And Danny Mills is like, yeah, I totally agree. It's absolutely disgraceful that he ran on the field. We're like, are you kidding? You know, this is football. This is a sport all about passion. And I would prefer to see Mourinho. I'm going to say this as a Liverpool fan. I prefer to see Mourinho run onto the field and hug his players in delight than him kicking bottles on the sideline. It makes no sense. And throwing bottles around.
It's ridiculous. There's nothing more you want to see than passion, whether it's the players, the coaching staff. That's what it's all about. That's what we're all there for.
I mean, remember, what's his name? Danny Ward, long lost Danny Ward, who may have been the leaker of team sheets, I've been hearing, by the way. Anyway, so like, all of a sudden, all of Leicester City's teams have been leaked every game day. Oh, how did that happen? Weird that. Anyway, so Danny Ward, you know, after he got the Huddersfield penalties and got them through, he just did like a mad sprint from one end of the field to the other and stuff like that. Glorious moment. Absolutely loved it. Troy Deeney, you know, after, was it Almunia or Gomez or whoever, did the save on the one side, then the ball goes up to the other side and Troy Deeney scores to get Watford promoted. And, you know, those are proper mad scenes where the entire field should flood, the entire crowd should flood the field, should I say. One manager running on and hugging his goalkeeper, you're going to go, oh, it's disgraceful. Yeah, I feel sorry for his wife if that's the level of passion he's unable to achieve, you know.
Oh, no. Oh, jeez.
I went there.
You did. Thanks for the warning.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Anyway, should we talk about the game? Let's go to first half. Tell me, what were your thoughts first half? It was entertaining, back and forth. There were chances for each half. What were you thinking?
Yeah, no, I thought the first half was fantastic. It was, in fact, I'll tell you about my how I watched the game, because that was a nightmare. So
okay,
so obviously the game was at 3:15 in the morning of Australia time. Mm-hmm. I had a late night prior due to a function, and I thought, no, I'll get my 3 hours sleep before work, and then I'll get up and I'll watch the game on catch-up. Seems like a smart idea at the time, so I had my phone on the Do Not Disturb. I thought, great, I won't get any notifications, nothing will come up. I'll log on to the app and I'll watch the game from the start. Perfect. So I'm watching it. I'm watching the first half. And the first half was a real good game, you know. Both teams, it was like a proper Merseyside derby. Yep. You know, there's been a lot of talk of Liverpool haven't been as sharp going forward. The midfield's not been there at times, and I thought first half we really stepped up and we were really going for it. I thought Fabinho in the middle was really strong. A lot of forward passes, a lot of tackles in there, which was great to see. And as I was watching it on the catch up, I kept getting these notifications coming through, and it was of the game. And obviously, the game must have been at the 90th minute or something like that. And I kept flicking away these notifications.
Oh, they're popping up on the phone while you're watching it on your phone.
Yeah, but I
God, that's terrible.
I was doing that thing where I sort of, I'm squinting my eyes and I'm like, no, I'm just watching the game. I'm not looking at the notifications on a 5.5-inch screen. That's not easy. And I keep flicking them away every couple. And then they keep coming. They're coming flying through. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then out of nowhere, my alarm goes off for when I was meant to actually get up for work. And I turn my alarm off, and what it does is it takes me out of the app that's showing me the game. It takes me to my alarm screen. So I have to go back from the alarm screen onto the app that's showing me the game.
Hmm.
And up it comes, and it's Jurgen Klopp giving a post-match interview on Divock Origi and his 96-minute goal.
No.
So then I had to go back and watch the entire game, knowing that every time Everton went forward, I was like, oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, they're not going to score. I don't care. Whatever.
Oh, no.
As if they were going to score anyway, let's be honest. But then every so often, I was like, all right, so is anything going to happen? No, it's halftime. Yeah, okay, cool. No worries. Is Origi coming on at halftime? No, he's not. Okay, cool. Yeah, it's fine. We're making a sub. Oh no, it's Naby Keita. Okay, yep, cool. That's fine. I knew something was coming, but I didn't know what it was. It was an absolute nightmare. So
that's painful.
It was horrible. So if anyone has ever thought, I might skip the game and watch it on catch up and not worry about what the score is, take advice. Just watch it live. Just forget exactly. forget about sleep. Sleep's not important. Sleep you can catch up on. Yeah. Watch the game live. Do not put yourself through that kind of misery.
I've only done it once in recent memory, i.e. the last 5 years, and that was when I was traveling and I couldn't actually watch it at all, so I had to try and avoid it, but I can't do it. Every single time, I have to know what the score is, and then I try and watch the game and I lose interest super quick. It just doesn't work. So I was like,
I'm
never doing this again. Yeah. I've got a slightly worse memory, maybe not worse, maybe the same, but it was from the last bloody Merseyside derby, the Mane 94th minute. You know what was happening? This isn't a shit on, this isn't a shit on Cheers Bar or anything like that. Please don't take it that way. But I was at Cheers Bar watching with all the Reds. This is the main OLSC from Liverpool, New South Wales. Quick plug for the best Liverpool official supporters club in the world. I was there. Cheers Bar was absolutely pounding. It was nil all, 94th minute. It was like 92nd minute. And everyone's like really tense. And then I see this guy next to me who's like on his phone. I'm like, what's that guy doing on his phone? It was getting early morning and stuff like that. And I thought he was just checking his emails or something. And then all of a sudden he goes, yes! And we're like, what? And then I realized that he was watching. Our screen was delayed by like a minute. And everyone... Oh, no. In the entirety of Cheers Bar was watching a delayed stream while he was watching the live bloody scores. So about the five or six of us surrounding this dude, who was a complete random, no idea who he was, decided to get the notification that Mane scored 2 minutes before Mane scored. Oh, and I just looked at him with the biggest filthy when it happened. I was like, yeah. I was like, fuck you. At the same time. Oh. That ruined that moment for me 1,000%. I could not believe it because he went, yeah, and then he turned it, so we scored. I was like, you fuck. Like, I'm still absolutely puking. And so I'm only, if I go to Cheers Bar, I'm surrounding myself only with good folk who are the people that I know, not the randoms.
No.
Oh, God damn.
Oh, I could not think of anything worse. It's a horrible experience.
Especially that moment. How good was that moment? Both of them. What would you rate higher in euphoria? You can't now, because it's got spoilt for you.
Well, no, it's not that bad, because I make it sound terrible, but when Divock Origi had his first chance and he hit the bar,
yeah,
I thought that was the moment, and then it wasn't. So then the anticipation, because what was it? It was when the commentator turned around and Gylfi Sigurdsson got substituted, and they brought on another centre back, Kurt Zouma, I think it was, and he was walking off the pitch, and the commentator goes, "Oh, and Everton are going to take their time here. They're happy to take a point away from Anfield." And then I just knew that wasn't going to happen. So then I got, oh, this must be it. This is the moment. This is when they fuck it up. Yes.
That's good.
So it came
back. You just start laughing from that point on. As soon as did you just go into like a wild laugh from that moment on for the rest of the game?
That was when the hype really came back out of nowhere and the euphoria was there.
Now tell me what it felt like, because watching that goal, because it's so ridiculous. What was your first thought when you saw that goal happen?
I thought it was a goal kick.
And then you realize, actually, based on physics, it can't be a goal kick.
No. Well, that's it. Well, based on Jordan Pickford, of course it's not.
Surprised his hands could reach that high, to be honest. It actually went over the post.
Yeah. I didn't realize he brought a stepladder with him to the game, but yeah, I'll take it.
You got some go-go gadget legs for that one moment.
it was just brilliant.
Let's go back to the first half, because that goal, we could talk at least an hour on that goal alone. But I put down my halftime thoughts. Very straightforward stuff. Fantastic game, both sides with excellent chances. And there were. Both sides had some really, really good chances that they should have both scored. But Alisson's amazing, and Mane can't shoot, so that's fine. I said, number two, Fabinho and Shaqiri make our side look so much better, which they do. Alisson is phenomenal, which he is. Salah and Firmino need to step up in a big way, which they did not. And potential subs, Keita for Genie, Sturridge for Firmino, and I was going to actually write Origi, but thought I was going to get laughed off the face of the internet, so I didn't even write it. And I wish I did, because then I would have got a few more likes on that post. But anything else that you popped to mind from that first half? Anything that
I'm going to kill myself for saying this, but I think credit to Everton, because I thought they actually played pretty well, but I thought defensively we were really solid. Joe Gomez in that goal line clearance, it just sums up how much it means to the boys to keep that clean sheet and to fight to the very end. I thought Alisson was just pulling save after save after save. It was just playing a blinder. But I agree with your comments on Salah and Firmino, and I was a bit hacked off with Sadio Mane. There was parts of his play today that he was looking fantastic. He was winning the ball back. He was having some really nice touches. But then his last touch or his pass, especially in the first 15-20 minutes, they just kept going nowhere, or they were going to a blue shirt. And his finishing, oh my God, his finishing was just, it wasn't finishing. It was something else. But it was interesting though, because I felt we were linking up a bit better than what we had been before. It was just that final ball or that final touch. There was, when we played Watford last time out, and we got I think our first shot on goal was in the 42nd minute.
Yeah, same.
And I think we did so much better that time. I think in the first half it must be a record for us, but we had 5 shots on goal in the first half. That must be a personal best.
Mother of God.
But it was good to see the boy. Like I said before, the boys stepped up a notch. They really actually came out all gone. And of course, it's a Merseyside derby. You don't go in half measures. But it really showed, and we really tried to take the game forward a lot more.
Yeah. I've got a moment of the half because I tweeted about it, so it's just reminded me. Fabinho's tackle on Idrissa Gueye, that set up Shaqiri's chance. That just summed up for me what we've been missing in a defensive midfielder. Oh, he just nicked the ball off him. The ball went out wide. Shaqiri should have finished it or taken around the goalkeeper, then shot or something like that. But I like going all the way back to how it all started, and that just showed exactly what we've been missing. The thing that's frustrated me the most about Henderson lately, and everyone on here who's listened for a long time knows, I've been a Henderson fan for a long time. I totally respect what he brings to the team. But lately, he seems to be running in the middle of what's happening around him. So the ball's like bouncing between players, and he's just running towards one guy, then turning around and running towards another guy, and not actually being able to get near any of them. And it's very frustrating knowing that he's the dedicated defensive midfielder, but he's just not actually able to tackle. He can intercept pretty well sometimes, but that tackle that comes in from behind, kind of like what Firmino used to do and bring in and you know, get around people before they know it. It must be a Brazilian thing to just like sneak attack people. Yeah, I was going to mention pickpocketing, but I thought that may be not so good. It's essentially, if you're talking about football terms, it is pickpocketing. You know, you're coming up, you're trying to sneak up behind someone and then taking the ball off them. That term is pickpocketing. So it looks amazing and it works great because the team is not, they're not used to it. The central midfielder, the defensive midfielder is supposed to hold onto the ball pretty well and set up. But then you have Fabinho comes along out of nowhere, takes the ball off, and suddenly we're back on the attack in a really good position. So that settled it for me, going, he needs to start forever. Amen.
I completely agree. I think you could see the difference in the middle of the midfield. I still don't think the midfield was at its best, but I feel compared to, you look at our last few games of our midfield, I feel our midfield's been really stretched. They've been overrun, but there was a bit more calm and a bit more control. I mean, the amount of duels that Fabinho won, it was so obvious as well. You're right. The way he pickpockets, it's like Fernandinho for Man City.
It's a Brazilian thing.
It must be. But he's so good at it. And he's getting the ball back and he's getting the possession and he's moving it on. And that's what we're missing. That's what we need.
Yeah. He's not like a Nigel De Jong who just like jumps in with all his feet in the air and just trying to basically dismembers someone.
Yeah, no, he's not quite the karate kind. Not yet, yeah. Which is good.
Not yet. He's getting there. I'm looking at my tweets leading up to, because I don't tend to tweet during a game, except when Divock came on, I went, Divock time, all in like capital letters. And then I was thinking it was going to be like the Mane goal, so I tweeted out saying, this is about 20 minutes before the end of the game, saying, so good how we're waiting for the 93rd minute to score just to really break their hearts, .. I was like, and then my tweets just turn into all capital letters of like, ah, ha, 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 I love it. And full-time thoughts, one, ah, ha, 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 ha. Number two, repeat number one. You know, it's just, I went completely berserk. I don't know if I was just tired, drunk, which I feel now, but I lost my shit completely. It was mental. I then even did like match ratings where I gave Origi a score of 10,000. So... Oh, man. Do you see David Maddox tweet? He's just like, David Maddox, one of the most professional tweeters, and he does very well-structured tweets, and it's very business-like. His tweet at the end was, fuck me sideways. It's got 1.9 thousand likes on it. So, I wrote in there, say, now that's a match report, was my response.
That is all you need to say. I don't think anyone else would disagree with that. I think that sums it up perfectly.
Yep. Fuck me sideways. and then I just went on like a retweeting tirade. I went on like new profile pic and I stuck Divock Origi's head in it. LFC Stanley House, one of my good mates on here, put on the whole Divock scoring all around us. Carpite singing, having fun. It's the season. Love and understanding. Merry Christmas, Everton. Retweeted him. Retweeted Everton's post saying goal.Origi. Does that too?
I like that. And then I unliked it just so I could like it again.
How good is this feeling? And then I had like a gif of like Pickford trying to hug Allison, but his arm can't even get past his shoulder because he's got little T-Rex hands. Absolutely mad. I'm going to read this out. George Xanthus, good old George, Hollywood George, who's in Texas right now filming something. I want to get your thoughts on this. So, because I quite like this little monologue, I'll read it all out. So George says, the team has absolutely no room for Origi, and he comes on and scores. That's how you win titles, having players like Origi wait in the reserves for 3 months, then come on and score randomly, like Macheda did for United. For this season, just this season, let's have a billion players. Who cares if they're unhappy? Lie to them, like Fergie used to. You'll get a game, in inverted commas. Then use them once, win a title, move them on. Be nasty. Let's just get this title boxed and worry about sentiment later. And he had a little smiley face at the end. So, what do you think?
I got to be honest, I agree. I guess the one thing that I don't agree is that, you know, we don't have Fergie, we have Klopp. So true. I think we have a better player manager. You know, that person who, you know what Fergie was like as a manager. I think Klopp's a very different person, how he manages people. He sees value in every single person that's there. And I think you can tell every player at the club feels it. Whether they're playing 10 minutes or they're playing 10 games in a row, it doesn't matter. They're all ready to step up. They're all ready to show what they can actually do and contribute. And okay, so there might be some that at the end of the season won't be there. That's football. That's how football works.
Yeah,
and it is what it is. You do. And the players are professional and they know that. But while we got them, if they're going to score a 96-minute winner against T-Rexes, then we'll take it.
T-Rexes. He's never going to live that down, is he? Poor little midget arms Pickford. Oh, boy. Oh, man. I don't even know what to say. State of euphoria, just all over. Let's give some stats, if anyone cares. All over, 57% ball possession for Liverpool. We had 16 shots to their 9. We had 3 shots on target to their 3, which was interesting because it seemed like they had a few more, it seemed. We had 10 shots off target. They had 4 shots off target. Where it changes over are things like the duels won and the aerials. It's the only ones that we lost. They dispossessed us 12 times. They won 47 out of our 46 duels. And they won 16 out of our 10 aerial duels. In tackles-wise, they made 12 out of 16, while we made 8 out of 21. I assume about 6 of those 8 were Fabinho himself. interceptions, they made 11, we made 6. And clearances, they made 40, we made 17. So they won in clearances, so congrats.
Yeah, well done, lads.
You can take that.
Yeah, got the bragging rights there. Well done.
Oh, we'll stick that on a fucking DVD.
We want can't wait for the open top bus tour.
Yeah, we got more clearances trophy. So that firmly places Liverpool now on 36 points, second place, behind Man City on 38 points. That shows how important that win was. Everton, 14 points behind us, as well as Man United, 14 points behind us after 14 games played.
They're closer to relegation.
They are.
That's crazy.
Absolutely nuts. Wow. Oh, man. Any final thoughts on that particular game, or should we look ahead?
I can just talk about Jordan Pickford for the rest of the night, to be honest.
Of course he could.
No, it's a Merseyside derby. It's 3 points is one thing, bragging rights is another thing. But making sure that we're still on the toes of Man City, and I have to say, I watched the post match interviews And I really like the mentality of the players and Klopp as well. Every question was always about Man City and catching up with Man City. And in the club and the boys just we don't care what Man City's doing. They're a great team. They'll do what they've got to do, but we've got to do what we need to do. And that's all that matters. We'll take it one game at a time. We'll take it as it comes and we'll move on to the next one after that.
That's right.
And that's perfect. That's perfect. You know what the media is like, especially in England, but the boys aren't letting it get to them.
No, that's good. And we both know that being Man City, it must annoy the shit out of them. It's like, can't we just like get a lead and get a bit more comfortable? So we know that if we lose one game, it's not the end of the world, but they can't.
Nah.
So it's, I think they're going to lose to Watford. I'm calling it now.
Oh,
they're away to Watford. Here we go. Watford, they're going to beat them. I'm going to say 2-1, or it's going to be like a 3-2. I'm going to say actually 3-2. I reckon Watford, because they looked vulnerable. They conceded their first goal from open play in 10,000 years or something last weekend. And then suddenly in this game, the last game, they conceded again. They're conceding from open goals again. So it's that gives me a little pang of hope that the invincibility is cracking a little bit. It's probably not. I'm just using my heart now.
Let's just
not
believe
really my head. I will. Watford. I'm going to be Team Watford this coming Thursday. No, Wednesday morning for us, 7 a.m. And we're against a Burnley who just lost to Crystal Palace away 2-0, which I'll quickly bring up some stats. And it's absolutely dismal. They had one shot to their 9. They had 2 shots off target. Possession, they had 40-60. So they basically lost horribly. So we are facing Burnley at Burnley. Give us a score prediction.
I think it's going to be a 3-0 walkover for the Reds, mate. I don't know what's happened to Burnley. Things have just fallen to bits over there. Were they not in Europe this year or last year? At one point?
Yeah. Miserable though.
Ah, nightmare. But no, that's not our issue. Our issue is going there and getting 3 points. I don't see that being an issue.
Yeah, I'm going to say the same. I think 2 points, 3 points, 2 goals, 3 goals. If we play the similar style, like we don't revert back to, you know, let's play 3 central midfielders who play the exact same way. Let's not. Let's keep a winning formula because that worked well, and keep going that way because we look so much more dominant again that way. I forgot to ask you this. Well, who was your man of the match from the game?
Well, it's not Jordan Pickford, believe it or not.
What? I thought he got the assist of the century. What's going on?
I know. I think overall it's Virgil van Dijk. He's a colossus. He is just really fantastic. And when he's got that armband on, it just seems so natural.
Yeah.
Everything's just brilliant. He's so in control of that defensive line. He squared up to Richarlison. I thought he was going to break his neck at one point. He's such a fantastic football player. Such a brilliant defender.
Did you like the rest of the world just go like, when you saw him at the edge of the box and then he like kind of did a dribble and he burst into the box and then he did a cross? I was like, oh my God.
Yes.
Stop it, Virgil. Stop.
Oh, I didn't say stop.
A little bit erotic there. Could not believe my eyes. I was like, do us more often. I reckon if you put him up front and he actually worked a little bit on his finishing, he could bag 10, 15 goals in the season. The guy's just immense.
Oh, he got that winning goal for Holland in the Nations League against Germany.
You can tell that was his idea with the kick to this morning.
Yeah, that was right. Yeah, no, I think when he was a youngster, he actually played as a striker, and then he got moved back to defence. So he's got a bit of that striker's instinct in him.
Oh, he's got the dribbling, he's got the athleticism. I'm all for, you know, striker Virgil going up every game just, you know, 5 minutes. If we just need to have another goal for whatever reason, just send him up. Or just to get him some practice. We're already 3 goals up. Let's have a bit of a laugh. Let's,
yep.
I don't know, move Genie back, or Fabinho goes back or something and he heads forward. Beautiful. Get it done.
I can live with that any day of the week.
Magic. Anyway, mate, any shout-outs you like to do, send back home or anything like that? Anyone in particular that you think may be listening?
Oh, God, who could be listening at this time of night? I guess a shout-out to my mate Ross.
Sorry, yeah. Say it again.
Shout-out to my mate Ross. He's in Melbourne. He's following the Liverpool. He's actually from Scotland as well. And a shout out to my mate Ed, who's just come over from England with his Australian missus as well. So he's a Red fanatic. So big shout out to him, mate.
Awesome. Nice one, Ross and Ed. And Ed, welcome to the ranks. I think you've all got the right idea in coming this way rather than going back the other way. So
oh yes,
it's a. Just know that if they do decide, because they always decide, you know, they always go, you know, I'd really love to go home, but homesick. And then you go back for a few years, you may stay for a while. They always end up coming back to Australia, at least around a retirement time. So just letting you know, I've seen the pattern. So Ed, yourself, all of you is coming over. Your missus may take you back to, you may take the missus back to Scotland or to England for a bit. You're always going to come back to Australia. I'm just saying, it's just too nice here.
You can't stay away.
Nah, correct. Anyway, mate, always appreciate having you on in crystal clear HD and enjoying this wonderful, wonderful Merry Christmas, Everton.
All right,
mate,
have
a good night. And everyone out there, yeah, have a good night, everyone. Have a good day or night, and goodbye.
Lovely cushion header. Pacheco!